So tonight, I just want to try and bring some to you guys to encourage you. Encourage us all, but to encourage you guys, because we're living in a time when things are quite uncertain. I mean, do you remember the days when the end of the world was coming with the Brexit vote? I missed that one. And then there were all these stuff about if Boris Johnson gets in, it's the end of the world again. I'm still waiting for that one as well. And now it's the end of the world again. I mean, how many ends of the world can we survive before we actually get to the end of the world? Well, on Wednesday nights, we're going to be looking about. But there's so much going on. There's so much negativity, so much rubbish going on that we've got to be careful that we don't get caught along with it and basically swept along in this atmosphere of fear. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And yet, there's many Christians who are getting swept along. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. In fact, do wash your hands. There's things where you've just got to do. But at the end of it all, who's in control? It's God. So we've got to be careful that we're not swept along. And I've heard Christians come out with so much negativity. In fact, I'm waiting, I'm longing. I've had one person outside of our church tell me they're standing on Psalm 91. Out of all the other Christians I know, all they're doing is preparing for the worst. They're preparing. And yeah, okay, you've got to prepare for certain stuff. Prepare for your, you know, your pension. That's a good one. Prepare to go on holiday, which is a bit of a mess at the minute. But I'm seeing people almost preparing for a funeral. And yet, the doctors are telling us that even if you get it, the chances are, if you're a pretty fit person, generally well, you're going to be all right. And yet, the doctors are saying, you know, 2%-ish of people with underlying issues, they're going to struggle. But if you're fit, okay, if you're just average, the chances are you'll get through it. And I'm saying that you already know. And if you are panicking, stand on Psalm 91, get onto it. But there's another few verses in the Bible. This is what Jesus says. John 14, he says this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I mean, straight there, but stop. Don't let your hearts be troubled. But what happened? I was sat with some pastors this week. Pastors who usually should be cut above everybody else. I mean, usually. And they were talking about how I should be teaching you guys how to wash your hands. I said, what's it next? Do I have to show them how to use the minimum amount of toilet paper? I said, shouldn't I be telling my people and you shouldn't be telling your people to trust in God? Stand on the word. Let's see this through. Let's ride it out. At the end of the day, we've all had little coughs and colds and stuff. And I think there's only once in my life I've had flu, and I was probably late teens, and I were in bed for a few days on that one. So that's why I think I had flu. I might have had man flu on and off at last whatever, but that doesn't affect girls, does it? So we're all right there. But the Bible says this. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. That's Jesus saying to you, whatever's going on in life, do not let your heart be troubled. Now, that's not saying don't have concerns, but it's saying don't. So if your heart's troubled, guess what you're doing? You're going against what Jesus says. And this is in the Bible, and I've checked it out. It's actually the same wording almost in the New King James. It's the same wording in the English Standard Version. And I'm using the NIV. It's the same version. Don't let your heart be troubled. But he continues, believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the place I'm going to. It's interesting how many Christians say, I can't wait till I get to heaven. I can't wait until, you know, I burst through those pearly gates. We've got coronavirus. Panic. Hang on a minute. Either you want to go or you don't. Now, at the minute, I don't. However, if I did have a vision of heaven, that might change. But do you know what? The problem nowadays isn't the problem. The problem is the fear of the problem. That's the problem. You see, the virus in itself is not causing... why are people selling their shares? There is a virus getting into people's heads and going, sell, sell, sell. No. I'm curious. Sorry, this is just me. I'm curious to know why an island who's already got the virus quarantines itself. I'd say, come on in. Bring it. Take it back. You know what I mean? Because it's like... At some point, the government says we're all probably going to get it. So, and most people get a sniffle, maybe a sore throat or something like that. But I want to talk tonight about stress. That's not another word for men wearing dress. It's stress. Stress. Because people are fearful and it's leading to stress. You know, it's kind of really... But the problem... The big problem we're seeing is not the problem. The problem is the fear of the problem. Teachers, when I was at school, they used to have a right thing, but I'd sus this. By the age of about 11, I got it sus. They'd make you sit outside their headmaster's room, wouldn't they? Sit there. And you'd be panicking, thinking, what we're going to do? What do they know? By the time I got to high school, head teacher come out, or deputy head, and go, Johnny, why are you here? I go, I do not know. I'm not stupid, I'm not going to grasp myself up. I had no fear of them knowing anything unless they knew it. And then I learned very quickly, I only concern myself with what they already knew. I wouldn't get my head all worked up, well, what's if they know this and what's if. And then eventually, if they said, have you done this? I'd go, if I've done it, are you going to cane me? And they'd go, yeah. I used to go, okay, I'm not going to argue about it, can we get it over and done with? Because I'm not going to waste my time there anyway. That was a bit rebellious, isn't it? But the problem is not the problem. And even in life, often the problem in life is not the problem. Your problems, your stress are not actually the problems in itself. It's not even the person that we think is doing it to us. It's the way we handle it. It's actually an attitude of heart, an attitude of mind. Why is it some two people can go through the same situation, yet one rises up and one sinks down? What's the difference? Attitude of heart. Attitude of mind. You see, stress is actually a belief system. Stress is related to worry. And if you think the worst, now there's nothing wrong with preparing. Don't think I'm immune to this. There's nothing wrong with preparing for a situation. But when shelves run dry because of a fear of something that's not happening. Do you know, in the first few months of World War II, more people died over panicking because the alarm went off and they crushed people trying to get into the air raid shelters and there wasn't even a plane in the sky. Fear. And I wonder sometimes how much fear is underlining ourselves. And we need to be careful of that. The Bible says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I know most of you're good on God, but I know of two people that actually talked themselves into an early grave. Two people, and some of you may even know them. They've passed away, they're buried, they've gone. But two people, when I went to them, I said, this is what the Bible said. They kept saying to me, but you do not understand. And I said to them, hang on, okay, what's the doctor said? And one of them says to me this, I don't care what the doctor said, I know. And they ended up dying over what they knew. And afterwards, when I asked the doctor said, no, they didn't have it. But panic ensued. There's an old phrase, isn't there? Birds especially. Birds can panic and kill themselves. Budgies especially. Fell off the perch. Over nothing. Sylvester the cat comes near and the bird dies. Not on the cartoon mode, did it? So, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Don't let fear get into your heart. Don't let stress. For as he thinks, the Bible says, in his heart, so is he. If you think you're going to get it, chances are you're going to get it. So I would say this, think you're not going to get it. So the chances are you might, but you might not. I mean, to me, that's kind of logic, but why is it we always look at the negative? What? I mean, as human beings, why is it we always think the worst? I understand now why all the toilet paper went missing first. Because all the beans have gone now. Yeah. There's going to be some interesting situations, isn't there? Luke says this, the good person out of the good treasure in his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I can tell where people are by what they say, by what they talk about. We need to remember that out of our hearts flow where we're really at. And we need to keep that in mind. What you believe in your heart, you will speak. I had this with some pastors recently. I can tell this to you guys. I said to a group of pastors, I was saying, I'm standing on the word of God. And they rolled their eyes at me. So I said, why aren't you standing on the word of God? And they said, Johnny, you just take the Bible too seriously. And I goes, how can you take it so seriously? And I goes, Johnny, get a reality check. People get sick. And I goes, yeah, but I don't. And they looked at me and said, yeah, but people don't. Duh. Stand on the word and see what happens. Or hope for the best and take it as it comes. And they rolled their eyes at me and said, you take it too serious. I'd rather take it too serious. And I might get it, but I don't think we will. Anything. And just stand on the word of God. You know, have you heard this phrase? And sadly, I've heard it even in this church. I'm worried to death. I'm worried to death. Careful. You know what I mean? We need to be careful because that's the overflow of the heart. There's power of life and death in our tongues. Guys, you can do more damage with your mouth than you can do with your fists. I've said this before, if you hurt somebody, if you punch them or even break their arm, within 6 to 8 weeks, it's better than normal. But if you speak some negativity into someone's life, it can rob them of joy for years. It can keep them. You see, we need to understand that it's about what's going on in our hearts. So, for example, sometimes we get told at work there's a round of redundancies. And then you automatically think, it's me. I mean, when I used to work years ago in this place, people were always panicking about stuff going off and, you know, we're going into recession again. I go, well, ever I'm working here, this company's going to do all right. And the boss used to look at me and say, are you out of your head? I said, no, well, I'm here. I bless this company because I'm here. Now, you could say, Johnny, you'd have been a bit carried away. But actually, I said, well, ever I'm here, this company's going to be blessed. I'm going to do all right. And when recession hit, guess what? The company carried on. In fact, me and another lad were the only people that got a pay rise because the company were doing all right in a dark time. Because I said, well, I'm here. It's going to be all right. And then I left and he didn't want me to go. I mean, when your boss says, please don't go, it's not because I was such a good worker. It's because he understood a little bit about maybe his company is blessed. You see, problems that we have in our life, the key problems in our life, are neither, you know, do we get stressed out over problems, which is only going to lead to bigger problems, and basically suck our thumbs, or do we rise to the challenge? Guys, with a testimony, you first need to have a test. You can't have a testimony unless you've had a test to speak of, can you? How can you say you've slain giants if you never face a giant? How can you say, you know, the only good thing about getting sick is that you can pray about it and see a healing? The only good thing about losing a job is the fact you can get a better job if you're standing in God. We need to understand that, you know, stress and fear and worry, etc., are not the Christian life. We should be different. Your neighbours, your colleagues, your friends should be saying, what's different about you? Don't you understand the whole world's going to pot? Yeah, I understand it is. But I'm standing on the word of God. And by standing in the word of God, it doesn't mean you're immune to it. Guys, if this country goes under, we go under with it. But even under it, we can still shine. Pensions could go, well, it will be what it will be in that sense, but I will carry on serving God. Some of you think I've just totally lost it, but I'm just trusting in God. You know, some Christians actually get out of bed in the morning believing what Job says. Now, this is a verse in the Bible. But you've got to understand that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for and it lists some things. Not all scripture is useful for teaching. Some of it's useful for rebuking. Some of it's useful for teaching. They're differently. So this one you can, I mean, if you want to, I'm going to give you the Bible verse if you're quite negative, if you're going to get it and blah. Job says this, "For the things I greatly feared has come upon me, and that I have dreaded has happened to me." The things that Job dreaded, that he spoke out on a regular basis, came his way. But out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. We should be careful what comes out of our mouth. I mean, they usually say, if you've nothing good to say, don't say anything. But even that, be careful what you say about yourself. Over yourself. It says this in Psalm 23, verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Which Bible verse do you want? Job? Or John David? John David saying, "Goodness and faithfulness follow me all the days of my life." Or John Job going, "Oh, the thing I greatly thought would come in, it's coming." Well, even if it does, what's the worst that could happen? You get taken out. I've said this to you, haven't I? I says, you know, I probably will do, you know, if you want, if you really don't trust this stuff, fair enough, I'll do a funeral for you. I don't mind. I'll even do it cheap. Can't do it free. Well, I could actually, my bit anyway. Okay, let's look at what else we've got here. I want to remind you that there's something in the Bible that actually gives us strength. There's something in the Bible that gives us strength, and yet the world is completely eroding what gives you strength. Now, the world is giving you fear, anxiety, and worry, but the Bible says, and this is in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if the joy of the Lord is our strength, it keeps going. If worry and fear are coming in, you need to make a choice in your mind and say, I'm not accepting that worry and that fear. I'm going to stand in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord gets you out of bed in the morning. The joy of the Lord keeps you going through a battle. The joy of the Lord keeps you strong in everything. The world will keep you under and it'll just drag you down. But the joy of the Lord, you can always tell someone's got the joy of the Lord. That's not them. But neither is it those people who are just giddy and look like they've been on Red Bull. The truth is, the joy of the Lord just keeps you going. It's the thing that keeps you going. It's a joy. It's not a ha. Don't look like you've been on something. It just means you've got something inside of it that keeps you going. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Notice it doesn't say that prayers of the believer is the strength. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying. It doesn't even say the word of the Lord is your strength. No, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is what keeps you standing on the word of God. The joy of the Lord is what keeps you praying while you're standing on the word of God. And the joy of the Lord is what God gives you. It's actually, believe it or not, it's a fruit of the Spirit. If anybody's baptized in the Spirit or even, you know, saved, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, you don't have to work it up. Let's get some joy. You know, I like the idea of having options. I like my patience, but I ain't got time to wait for that. You know, it's got all these little things that we put in boxes, but God says, you know, you get me, you get it all. You get it all. It says this in Romans, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." New King James Version. Joy in the Spirit. We are born into this kingdom of God, and we are the righteous of God in Christ, and we have peace that passes all understanding, and we have joy. Guys, I don't really know what's going on in this world, but I have a peace. I have a peace. I mean, if you grew up in the 80s, we were going to get nuked all the time, weren't we, from Russia? I mean, it was basically every week, it's like, panic, panic, we're going to all get bombed again. We know they got bombed, but at least it wasn't the end of the world. This is what they said in the 80s. It's probably going to happen, but if you put your bed and your mattress against the side of your house in the middle and get underneath with a load of glasses of water, you'll survive. Really? I mean, in those days, they would tell you to take some bottles of water in a mattress with you and you'd survive. Nowadays, they're saying somebody coughs in London and the world stops. What's happened? Fear and panic. I just thought we don't go to war because we'll all be sanitising our hands and worried about whether we step on a newt instead of killing the enemy. But we are at war. And the war against fear. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The key ingredients there. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Self-control. Fear, fear, fear. I mean self-control when you walk past some beans. I've already got six tins. but I'm sure I could carry six more. Self-control. Some people need to get a little bit of that, don't they? Joy is something that we have regardless of what's happening. Guys, if you haven't got joy when it's doing good, you're not going to have joy when it's not doing good. You need joy. And it's knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what he's done for us, knowing the awesome price he paid for us, knowing how amazing he is. It just gives you joy. I mean, read the book of Revelation. When you see Jesus in that book, you're going to think, flip it out. You know, the devil hasn't got a chance. He has not. That should give you some joy. You know, it might be a bit rough down here, but at least we know what's going to happen. We know where we're going. It's all going to be sorted out. And even if we're taken out down here, then we can keep on going for God. But Psalm 34 says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." I love that because the world is saying, "Oh, magnify the virus," or "Oh, magnify this," or "Oh, magnify." I say, like the psalmist did, magnify the Lord. Make him the focus of your attention. Look, you know, in Hebrews it says, yeah, I think it is, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, let him be in the middle of your focus zone. Yeah, there's things going on around the world, but let your focus be magnifying the Lord. Let it be Jesus. Jesus, I'd rather walk out and get taken out by whatever, still focusing on Jesus, than worrying about it beforehand. Guys, if worry could be a currency, some people would be millionaires. But it doesn't do you any good. I mean, how many times have we heard that? Don't worry, it doesn't do you any good. And then worry. But I can't help it. Do you know, if the Bible says do not do something, that means God's saying you have a choice. You have a choice. So if it says do not steal, you say, well, I have a choice. Do I do not? Do not commit a murder. Well, it's a choice. Don't worry. I can't help it, all right? Anyway. Psalm 34, "Oh, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together," the NLT says. "Oh, magnify the Lord," the New English Standard. Let's put Jesus at the forefront of everything. You know, when you have a problem, when problems come, whatever it might be, and I know sometimes when you're not feeling so good, or it's 4 o'clock in the morning, or something's just not going so well, whatever it might be, some a phone call. I mean, do you dread it when phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning? I mean, you can ring me. I don't often hear them. I've gone. One thing that's really, God's really blessed me is the ability to sleep. Ding, off I go. That's it. I take everything of the day. I put it in a little box. And then I put that little box in the nothing box. That's in my mind. I put it in there, leave it there. I'm good to sleep. I'm just out of it. But do we stress, worry? Do we crawl into bed and hope the day is gone? Or do we stand on the word? Do we cast our cares? Do we say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Greater is he that's with me than anything that's in me. Do you know, I loved it when they gave it a name. When they named this virus, I thought that was good. Because every name will bow at the name of Jesus. Every name will come under the name of Jesus. And that doesn't mean just people. You know, cancer's a name? Yeah. Under. Depression, it's a name. When people say, I've got a condition, I think that's good. Under the name of Jesus. That don't go well with a lot of people. All things work together for the good of those who love him. I know that my Lord can handle... They're all verses. This is just what I wrote. I know the Lord can handle this. So I'm just going to go along for a ride. I like that one. Yeah, God, it's up to you. You sort it out. You see, I am born of God, and the devil and the evil one cannot touch us. You're all looking at me like, I'll give you a verse of that one. 1 John 5:18. Because you're a child of God, the devil has no right to you. The only time he gets you is when you give him the right. Interesting. 1 John 5:18. Romans 8:37, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I am strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Colossians 1:11. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind, or self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7. You see, Jesus already paid it all. And Isaiah 53 says it all there. I don't know, people debate that. But it's like, just read it, will you? Just read it. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. I think this, it encourages me. Because some people can sing like a nightingale. And some sing like, what is it? A gale in the night. But it's a joyful noise. And people, you know, God loves it. God cares. I mean, the joy of the Lord should be stirred up. You know, when you're full of joy, you don't need somebody to say, come on, let's worship Jesus. Do I have to? Do you know, it's like, we get to do that. We get to worship him. I mean, some of you guys should be. I mean, Sam should be getting ready on his guitar. We should be doing a tune-up, and we should be just getting going, and Malcolm's fiddling at the back, and we're all sorting things out, and someone's going, are we starting yet? No, we've got 20 minutes. Come on, I can't wait. That'd be a good day, that, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? Just put a CD on, we're out of here. What's this Bible verse say? Isaiah 12, verse 3. Therefore, with joy you will draw water and from the wells of salvation. With joy. You know, sadness might last for a night, the Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. You know, I don't know who joy is, but I'm expecting them to come. You know, sometimes we might go to bed in a bit sadness and stuff like that, but the next morning the birds are tweeting, the sun's shining, or in England it's raining as usual. But who cares? It's another day. Another morning, just to carry on with Jesus. Psalm 5, verse 11 says this, but let all those rejoice and put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Be joyful. Joyful. Oh, let's not go there. I won't do it. But one of these times I'm going to do this, pull keyboard out. And sometimes somebody once asked his mum to teach him, what's the meaning of life? And he says, it's doing a scale on the piano. So he went up to the scale and started in C and just went up, ding, 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 ding. And mum says, no, that's not. You've got to do it the other way around. So they came down the scale. Somebody's going to practice later on. Came down the scale. And the mum says, well, it's not quite there yet. You need to put pauses in. And the little kid went, I'm not doing pauses, forget that. What's this about? I want to know the meaning of life. And so it went off. But then later on he says to them, what do you mean by pauses? So she went to keyboard and put it on. I wish I'd have done it now. And he start with top C and you work your way back down. And he goes, joy to the world, the Lord has come. You know what I mean? It's a scale with pauses. It's better when you do it with a keyboard. But that's the meaning of life. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world. And it doesn't mean Mary's daughter. It means joy. Joy, we've got it. It's here. We've got joy. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says, you believe in him, you are exceedingly happy with joy and praise, that you can hardly express it in words. That's the God word version. I like that. You believe in him, that's extremely happy. You know, it really does bother me that the drug addicts seem happier than the church. That the drunks seem happier than the church. And yet we've got the truth. You know, someone says to me, no, we won't even go into that story. But other people think they're happy. And we should be, I'm not talking about being weird. Let's not be weird, but let's just have the joy. You see, God has promised us good things. He's promised us peace, hope, life, and joy. And he's actually said, just follow me. He did say life's going to be hard. I'm not saying it's not going to be hard, but at the end of the day, we need to trust in God. Trust also in me, says Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Even in the storm, don't let your hearts be troubled. Even in the trials, don't let your hearts be troubled. Be cautious what comes out of your mouth. Be deliberate about what you put into your heart. Put the word of God in. And don't let stress. Now, things are going to happen. Jesus said so. But be deliberate about what you take on board. But be deliberate about what you speak. I get annoyed sometimes. I really do. I'm sorry. I don't often get annoyed with you guys, but I get annoyed with other people because of the just negativity, and especially Christians. And guys, we've all got our own problems. We've all got our own levels of stress. But at the end of the day, do you want to live a life of joy or a life of stress? You know, we're all going to end up at the same place. We're all going to stand before Jesus. So I'd rather be happy on the journey and be happy when I get there, or be miserable on the journey. Not for me. I've tried that once. And then just be happy when I get there. That's a bit sad. At least enjoy dating before you get married. At least enjoy, you know, the job before you get paid. Have the best of it. I think that's good. I mean, learn a few things or two. I'm down to the end. Can't believe it. I've not what else to say. Except for this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Just don't let it. It's your choice, my choice. Now, tomorrow, when we're all miserable because it's Monday morning, so just take in mind. Take in mind. Oh. And when somebody gets it down the street and we all panic and the school's closed and so on. I heard somebody say this recently. I forgot who said it this morning. Instead of worrying about it, why don't you make the best of it? If that were you, thank you. I forgot it was. But make the best of the situation. If we're quarantined, write a book. Because you don't have time normally. Or if you're into other stuff, get Netflix and do your box series. Of Jesus of Nazareth, of course. Of course, you know. Or do Lord of the Rings series, long edition. You know, all 15 hours of it. But listen to, read the Bible. I mean, somebody's always complaining, I don't have time. You'll get quarantined, and afterwards I'll say, did you read the Bible? Forgot. You know what I mean? Who knows? But you know what? I think God knew this were coming. And I think he's preparing hearts for it. But I will say this. The nations don't turn to God in times of blessing, do they? They always turn to God in times of crisis. And I know that's not the best, but at least they give God the option. And that's when God really kicks into gear. Amen.